Hey, this is Chaka Khan, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
Frequency, Kenneth.
January 6th was a dark day in the history of the United States Capitol. And that same day, we reconvened the Congress.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the longhorn cattle see.
And did our duty under the Constitution and the laws of the United States.
Riding the range once more.
You know, President Trump and I have spoken many times since we left office.
And the only law is right, back in the saddle again.
And I don't know if we'll ever see eye to eye on that day.
As we gather tonight, our country is being destroyed before our very own eyes.
I go my way, back in the saddle again.
Crime is exploding. Police departments are being ripped apart and defunded. Can you believe that? Defund our, is that good politics? Defund our police? Number one, it's bad for our country, but think of it, defund our police.
In the saddle again.
You know, I've long said they're probably they're vicious.
Where the longhorn cattle feed on the lonely jimson weed. Back in
they're
the
violent.
Saddle again. Riding the range once more. Toting my old 44.
Where you they, sleep out in many cases, hate our country. And they have bad policy
back
now.
In the saddle again. Whoopee tie-eye, oh, rockin' to a
the bad news from our standpoint, they stick together.
I'm Paul Fisher.
They don't have some of the people like we have.
Yeah, I go my way, back in the saddle again.
They go on their own and they do what they have to. They stick together. And that's the one thing they have. They stick together. But their policy is so bad. And we're going to have a tremendous 2022, just like we did, frankly, 2020. Think of it. In the history of the United States, by far. We had a great election. Bad things happened.
And I don't know if we'll ever see eye to eye on that day. But I will always be proud of what we accomplished for the American people over the last 4 years. Or their allies in the media to use one tragic day to discredit the aspirations of millions of Americans.
are back. Pence in New Hampshire, Trump in North Carolina.
People live in homes made of leaves pulled from bananas. Others' houses are colored.
But it was in a GOP campaign video that Trump made a cryptic remark about being back in office sooner than you might think.
No control, but she don't know where that is. Some things living go through holes somewhere.
Just as the New York Times and other outlets reported that Trump is under the delusion that he'll be reinstated in the White House by August.
Take back the Senate, take back the House, we're going to take back the White House, and sooner than you think, it's going to be really something special.
Of course, none of this takes place in a vacuum. No, I'm not just talking about phony claims of election fraud.
My friend's house is full of very, very helpful nurses. Some days they have
to justify voter suppression laws and giving Republican state officials the power to overturn election results they don't like. Nope, there's also this. Federal prosecutors have again raised the number of expected indictments in the January 6th attack on the Capitol. They now expect to charge 550 people.
Can I ask you for your position on what you think should happen with the January 6th commission? Obviously, now that the bill is on the Senate, Speaker Pelosi laid out a few options. Do you think it should be a select committee? Do you think the individual committee should continue their investigation? What do you think should happen?
I think select committee is one very good thing. I mean, it's one very good option. There are a number of options. I'm not sure which is the best. Select committees in a situation like this.
I'll leave the light on for you.
Trump's Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, who, by the way, is still the Postmaster General, is reportedly under investigation now for illegally pressuring employees in private business to donate to Trump, to exceed single donation limits, and then reimbursing those employees. DeJoy denies the allegation. Matt Gaetz, still a GOP member of Congress, is under investigation for possible involvement with underage girls, and now also being investigated for obstruction of justice, for possibly tampering with a witness. Gaetz denies the allegations.
I would love to be able to share all the people in my life that I talk to and don't talk to, but unfortunately, the people in your profession have doxed, harassed, threatened people that have been in my life, and so I don't get into who I talk to and don't talk to because I don't want to put people in jeopardy.
Have you or your lawyer heard from investigators
before?
Well, I think that there's a lot going on in Florida. My focus is on what's going on here in Washington. No. Great. Thanks, everyone.
Trump company executives and children are being called in to give testimony. They call it a witch hunt. Giuliani is under investigation for just about everything but his starring cameo in Borat 2. Giuliani denies any wrongdoing, but there's a great pillow he wants to sell you.
Simply the very best pillows ever made.
It took 2 years, but former Trump White House counsel Don McGahn was finally forced to testify about Trump trying to fire Special Counsel Mueller and then trying to cover up trying to fire Special Counsel Mueller.
Really, number one, this was a good day for democracy. We were able to finally enforce, after more than 2 years, our subpoena power as a co-equal branch of government, doing our duty of oversight. You saw that the previous administration put up something like blanket immunity and other false legal concepts. To do everything that they possibly could not to come before a co-equal branch of government. So number one, this was a good day for a co-equal branch of government, for protection of our democracy and our constitutional duties. Mr. McGahn really brought to life Volume 2 of the Mueller Report and the chaos that must have been going on in that White House. You can read it in the report yourself. It's still the redacted version. But he literally brought to life that which was going on, the pressure that he was under, the pressure that other aides were under by the president to direct Rod Rosenstein to oust Special Counsel Mueller. President being very upset over the investigation of Russian interference in the election, Russian connection to his campaign, as well as, of course, the possible obstruction of justice by a sitting president. Mr. McGahn, I thought was forthcoming and gave a lot of testimony that fleshed out the Mueller report. I would say is it reminds me how important the bill I have, which is a subpoena compliance bill. That I introduced last Congress. Prior to that, Republican Daryl Issa had gotten it passed in the House. We can't be stymied by a bad acting former president, that Congress can't do its oversight role. So I hope this really tells everybody we have to pass that kind of reform.
By the way, do these investigations ever end in a decision? It's good to remember that long before Trump and Company's big lie strategy, the old saying went, a lie spreads halfway around the world before the truth gets out of bed in the morning. The only difference is, the old saying is even truer now. Maybe that's why Facebook thought it was a good idea to simply ban Trump for another 2 years.
Well, I think Facebook was right. I think that they have an absolute right to, ban... liars, and the president, the former president, is an absolute liar. It's not a question of free speech, because free speech is a question of the government limiting free speech, and there's no question of that here. Private companies don't have to print, can print whatever they want, and I think they're right to not print lies.
Offer did not meet the president's bar of growing the economy, tackling the climate crisis, and creating new jobs. And I would remind all of you, both in our counteroffer, but then in a lot of your reporting, it's clear the president has come down by about $1 trillion. What we've seen on the other side is they've only come up by a small percentage of that. So, look, moving forward, he's looking forward to having a discussion with Senator Capito, what that discussion can entail, knowing that in any discussion, any negotiation, both sides come closer together. That's always the objective. He's come down quite a bit. We're looking to see more. Now, at the same time, there are a lot of paths forward here. As many of you know, even though our muscles have atrophied a bit on this front, one is Congressman DeFazio, as we noted in our readout on Friday as well, is leading the markup of the House legislation that has a lot of overlap with the American Jobs Plan this week. The third pathway I would just note is there are Republicans and Democrats who have been out there talking about their eagerness to be a part of this discussion. And a part of an opportunity to move forward on the president's bold ideas and historic investment in infrastructure. So we'll look forward to seeing what they have to offer and what conversation we can have with them.
Infrastructure without also talking ransomware attacks on infrastructure. I gotta wonder whether anyone hit the Russian ransomware cyber hack trifecta. You know, fueling up for the drive north to catch the ferry from the Massachusetts mainland to Nantucket and heading to the galley to order a steak. I suppose it's technically possible to have been affected by the ransomware disruptions to fuel, ferries, and fillet of beef, but where does it end?
I think that there are very malign actors who are trying, even as we speak. You've been missing since the father of time. There are thousands of attacks. On all aspects of the energy sector and the private sector generally. I mean, the meat plant, for example. It's happening all the time. This is why the private sector and the public sector have to work together. And this is what the president is doing. He's working with our allies. He's working with countries around the world because other countries, even Russia, they don't want to see their sectors attacked by malign actors. by rogue non-state actors, not to mention state actors. So working with other countries, working with the private sector, working inside of our own government, the president has issued these executive orders to make sure that our own house is in order. Making sure that citizens are able to protect themselves. My mother, who's 86 years old, got two weeks ago a cyber, you know, not a ransomware, but she, you know, was hacked. So the bottom line is we have all got to up our game with respect to our cyber defenses. Mm-hmm. The president is doing that, his executive order. And just to quickly say, you know, on the pipelines, because the pipelines were a concern, obviously, the TSA, which actually regulates the pipelines, has now required the pipelines to report cyber incidents to the federal government so that we at least have intel. Line is people, whether you're private sector, public sector, whatever, you shouldn't be paying ransomware attacks because it only encourages the bad guys.
It all depends, I guess, on how much weight you're expecting sanctions to carry. I think they are an effective tool. I think they can be overutilized. And of course, we can, you know, have the false expectation that they're going to solve all our problems. They won't. But nonetheless, they do have a very real impact on the Russian economy. They have a real impact on Russian oligarchs. Putin hates them. And so they do have value. And here, I think we need to find a way, frankly, to hold these countries to indemnify the victims. Either by providing some form of legal redress or sanctions that are equivalent to the losses that we're sustaining. We're going to need international cooperation to do it. I think one of the things that Russia and China are greatly concerned about is when we partner with our allies around the world and we bring about collective economic action to push back on their activities. But that's what we're going to have to do. It won't be a cure-all. At the end of the day, we just need to harden our defenses. But it does help advance the cause.
Well, as I said, this is a top priority. And again, the president has been clear. We are evaluating all of the options. And we won't stand for a nation supporting or turning a blind eye to a criminal enterprise. And as the president has said, we are considering all of our options.
I'm Dan Rather, and you're listening to What's the Frequency, Kenneth? With musical host Paul Fisher in New York City.
And we're not taking anything off the table as we think about possible repercussions, consequences, or retaliation.
The reality is we're not going to be able to bring these criminal hackers before U.S. courts. We don't have the jurisdiction to go into St. Petersburg or Moscow or wherever they're operating out of and grab them and pull them into U.S. court. Uh, But we can, I think, seek to recoup the money. We can, I think, try to establish international rules of the road and laws that allow for liability in the courts, yes. But also a collective international agreement to sanction, at least force them to suffer the economic losses that they're causing the rest of the world by allowing these ransomware attackers to operate.
We've been talking
freely
about cyber for a long time. And finally, the American public is starting to wake up to the ramifications of these attacks. So I think we ought to do three things. One, we ought to put in place, and we've got bipartisan legislation to do this, to require that when companies get attacked, they notify the government. There is no requirement right now. Second, we do need international norms. So that when cyber groups out of Russia, because they're not just attacking us, they shut down the Irish healthcare system, we need international norms. And third, we need to have more transparency. There's going to be a debate about whether these companies should pay ransomware, but there ought to be more transparency if a company does pay so we can go after the bad guys.
I think to some extent, Chuck, you really have to treat Russia like it's virtually a criminal enterprise. They harbor criminals. They don't appreciate the rule of law or any kind of level of personal freedom. And I do think we have to push back when there's no penalty, there's no sanctions. You're hard to find who's doing it. Even when you can find where they are, we haven't really effectively sanctioned the countries that are protecting this kind of activity. It has to stop.
Do you think there should be a law in the books that bans the payment of ransom? I mean, you may have to actually outlaw the ransom payments. Are you ready to go there?
I would. We'll say that, but I don't know that. I don't know whether Congress or the president is at that point, but I do think that we need to send this strong message that paying of ransomware only exacerbates and accelerates this problem. You are encouraging.
There has been some responses, both from NSA, the National Security Administration, and from the Biden administration in terms of things like sanctions. So there have been responses, but I think we need to step that up. One of the problems is, over the past 15 or 20 years, as we've had these series of cyber attacks from North Korea, from Russia, from China, we really haven't responded. We've been a cheap date. And you can't defend yourself simply by bobbing and weaving and patching. The adversary has to understand they'll pay a price. There'll be a cost for attacking the United States or for attacking our critical infrastructure. And thus far, they really haven't felt that. So I think that's a piece of this that we have to do. The other piece is you mentioned in your intro, we keep getting wake-up calls and we keep not waking up.
Exactly what we do.
We'll go into hiding. Something else is better than deciding.
sends quick notification to law enforcement and pursuant to a seizure warrant issued by the United States District Court for the Northern District of California earlier today, the Department of Justice has found and recaptured the majority of the ransom Colonial paid to the Dark Side Network in the wake of last month's ransomware attack. DarkSide is a ransomware as a service network. That means developers who sell or lease ransomware to use in attacks in return for a fee or a share in the proceeds.
Are you with me? They're trying to get you. They're trying to push you.
DarkSide and its affiliates have been digitally stalking U.S. companies for the better part of last year and indiscriminately attacking victims that include key players in our nation's critical infrastructure. Turned the tables on DarkSide. By going after the entire ecosystem that fuels ransomware and digital extortion attacks, including criminal proceeds in the form of digital currency, we will continue to use all of our tools and all of our resources to increase the cost and the consequences of ransomware attacks and other cyber-enabled attacks.
Of the risks of accidents and the use of incline sleepers if the safety restraints were not used, we decided 2 years ago to recall the Rock and Play voluntarily as the best way to reduce this risk. Recently, we considered a similar situation with the 4-in-1 Rock and Glide Soother. Although this is not a sleeping product, the data indicated a risk of accidents if the safety restraints were not used or children were left unsupervised. Based on this, we decided to recall the glider, which we announced last Friday. We also recalled the 2-in-1 Soothe and Play glider, even though there are no reported fatalities associated with this product, because it is similar to the 4-in-1 glider.
We've gotten used to hearing the House Oversight Committee holding hearings on Trump and Company. So it was a reminder of more traditional times when the Oversight Committee held a hearing on a dangerous consumer product, a product that was recalled after it was linked to dozens of infant deaths. The Rock and Play Sleeper. Oversight Chair Carolyn Maloney questioned the head of Fisher-Price and the CEO of the parent company, Mattel.
The report that the committee released today is based on interviews and internal documents from your company, Mattel. And these internal sources are damning. They show Mattel did not do any independent research as to the safety, to see if Rock and Play was safe for sleeping before starting to sell it in 2009. They show that Mattel did not consult a single licensed pediatrician to make sure that the product was safe. And they show that Rock and Play, after it came to market, Mattel ignored a pediatrician's warning in writing and brushed off reports from mothers who had lost their children that babies had stopped breathing and even died from the product. They were warned from foreign countries that had taken it off the market. And the documents show that after the Consumer Product Safety Commission raised concerns with Mattel in 2018, your company fought back for nearly a year, even though you knew at least 14 infants had died in your product. Babies lost. This is a national scandal. It is breathtakingly irresponsible. It is corporate conduct that cannot be tolerated and has to change in the future. Mr. Kreis, on behalf of Mattel, will you accept responsibility for this tragedy and apologize to the dozens of families whose children died using your product?
Well, let me first say that our hearts go out to every family who suffered the loss. The Rock and Play sleeper was safe when used in accordance with its instructions and safety warnings. The sleeper was designed and developed following extensive research, medical advice, safety analysis, and more than a year of testing and reviews. Two studies confirmed that the Rock and Play sleeper was as safe or safer than other sleep environments such as cribs and bassinets. And one of these studies found that the product...
Reclaiming my time. The bottom line is 50 children, infants died. You did not conduct any studies. You didn't even talk to a licensed pediatrician. You didn't even talk to the medical profession. You didn't do anything but pump it out there and sell it. And your actions weren't just irresponsible. I believe they were motivated by the company's bottom line. I'd like to put a chart up for the internal 2013 Fisher-Price presentation showing revenue from the Rock and Play from 2009 to 2012 and a forecast of 2013 revenue. Okay. In 2010, Rock and Play generated over $5 million in revenue. Just 3 years later, it was projected to generate over $26 million, an increase of more than 500%. Mr. Kreis, how much revenue did Mattel or Fisher-Price receive in total from Rock and Play from 2009 to 2019? Can you give us a number?
I don't have the number in front of me, but I can assure...
Okay, reclaiming my time, why don't you look it up? Our documents confirm that Mattel received $200 million from selling this dangerous product. Over 50 documented lives lost. Your company knew about these deaths in Rock and Play in 2012, our documents show. And yes or no, if the public had learned about these deaths starting in 2012, would that have negatively impacted your company's revenue? We just heard from two mothers who lost their children. And they definitely would not have bought this product if they had known about these deaths. Well, he seems to have lost his voice. Mattel clearly had a financial incentive to keep this information under wraps, even if it meant dozens more babies might be injured or die. That is why the decision to disclose safety information to the public should not be in the hands of corporations. It should not. The government should be able to release this information. We intend to change the law to allow that to happen. We must strengthen the Consumer Product Safety Act to give the CPSC the tools it needs to protect consumers, over profits.
It was only a matter of time. Starting in the 50s and 60s, UFO discussions were the stuff of middle-of-the-night talk radio shows. Once in a while, on a slow news night, you might read or see a feature on Project Blue Book, or SETI, or the various UFO investigations that were open and shut, classified and unclassified, by various Intel and Defense Department projects. A pre-president Jimmy Carter filed a UFO sighting report when he was governor of Georgia. But it was never like it is now. Stories and pictures in the New York Times, stories and videos on 60 Minutes, things that defy physics as we know it, tracking at 13,000 miles an hour, changing direction, turning on a dime, pilots speaking on the record about what they saw. Did you hear the one about the flying object that transitioned from the air to the water off San Diego without skipping a beat?
We're going against the wind. The wind's 120 knots to the west.
Of course, this new visibility comes with a new designation. They're not UFOs anymore. They're UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena.
That's not our LNS, though, is it? It's not.
I do have an LNS, man.
Well, if there's a good thing, it's rotated.
My guess is we didn't hear so much about them during the 4 years of Trump, because Trump was the only subject during the Trump years, and besides, he wouldn't be interested in aliens unless they were undocumented and from Mexico. So with the Times and 60 Minutes on the case of the UAPs, Congress will get a report on the subject soon. In the run-up to that, former President Obama was asked what he knows about UFOs, I mean UAPs, on the Late Late Show.
Well, when it comes to aliens, there's some things I just can't tell you on air.
But you'll tell us off air. Great.
You know, the truth is that when I came into office, I asked. Right? I was like, all right, you know, is there the lab somewhere where we're keeping the alien specimens in spaceship? You know, they did a little bit of research, and the answer was no. But what is true, and I'm actually being serious here, is that there's footage and records of objects in the skies that we don't know exactly what they are. We can't explain how they moved, their trajectory. They did not have an easily explainable pattern. And so, you know, I think that we're people still take seriously trying to investigate and figure out what that is. But I have nothing to report to you today.
It's okay.
Unless, here's the question. Reggie might secretly be an alien.
Leave it to Peter Ducey of Fox News to ask President Biden about it at a White House press conference a few days later.
If you're not asking me a mean one like you usually do.
It's something interesting, I think, is not going on. President Obama says that there is footage and records of objects in the skies, these unidentified aerial phenomenon, and he says we don't know exactly what they are. What do you think that it is?
I would ask him again. Thank you. Come on, Bob, let's go.
The Secretary of Defense and the Director of National Intelligence, I actually wanted to get this information out and declassified before I left office, but we weren't able to get it down into an unclassified format that we could talk about quickly enough. But frankly, there are a lot more sightings than have been made public. Some of those have been declassified. When we talk about sightings, we're talking about objects that have been seen by Navy or Air Force pilots or have been picked up by satellite imagery that, frankly, engage in actions that are difficult to explain, that movements that are hard to replicate, that we don't have the technologies that, you know, exceed the sound barrier without a sonic boom. So, in short, things that we are observing that are difficult to explain. And so, there's actually quite a few of those, and I think that information is being gathered and will be put out.
complete playlist of music and sound bites on the program, you can go to the program's Facebook page. What's the Frequency, Paul? Here's the short list of the music I played. Started off with Back in the Saddle Again by Gene Autry. We heard Sports Magazine by Zachary Utz. Leave a Light On by Modest Mouse. Hit Like a Girl Did Laundry List. Faint Lights in the Distance by Ulrich Schnaus and Jonas Munk. Steel by Jane Inc. The Father of Time Wakes Up by the Besnard Lakes. Sophia Kourtzis did La Perla. It's Darker by New Pagans. Henry Birdsey did HD4. Prelude Outer Space Radar from The Day the Earth Stood Still by Bernard Herrmann. Of Things Unknown by Moody Alien. And in the background now, that's Parking Lot by The Weather Station. Is it all right? Don't want to sing tonight. I know you tired of seeing tears in my eyes. But everywhere we go, there is outside. Over all of the ceilings hangs the sky. What's the Frequency, Kenneth? I'm Paul Fisher.